Tonight is Monday night, October 8th, Rosh Chodesh, Mar Cheshvan. This is the Gemara Shir. We're up to Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph in Maseches Moed Katan.
Okay, I want to welcome everybody back and welcome some new people. We are learning Moed Katan. We're in the middle of the third parak. Third parak deals with primarily all of the laws of Avelut. And since there is an overlap of the laws of Avelut with an individual has been put into Cherem, who has been excommunicated, since there are overlapping halachot, the Gemara happens to spend quite a bit of time in trying to identify whether every aspect of Avelut applies to Nidui, somebody who's been put into Cherem, or not. And we are on Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph, where we left off last time. I'll just give you 2 second background to bring everybody up to the fact where we are. There are several reasons why somebody might be put into Cheira. If somebody challenges or refuses to come to Bet Din, just doesn't come. He's summoned to Beis Din for whatever reason whatsoever, and he refuses to come. So often there are some Rishayim who say you can put him into Chayim right away. Some say you should send out 3 hazmanot, 3 invitations, and he refuses all of those, he goes into Chayim. But that's one category. Another category of people are people who did come to Beis Din, and unfortunately for them, were ruled against. And Beis Din made a decision that you have to do something, either pay retribution to someone, whatever it is, you didn't listen to the psak of Beis Din. Beis Din gave you an instruction, you failed to honor it. That is another reason why somebody can be put into Cheret. There is another way in which you should be put into Cheret, which has nothing to do with a Beis Din psak, is if a person deliberately violates any isur of the Torah. Guy just says, because we know that there is an obligation upon each and every one of us to try to get other people to be as committed as possible. It's the mitzvah of hochacha, hocheach tochiach es amisecha. You're supposed to nicely, not scream at them, not punch them in the nose, but you're supposed to ask somebody who is derelict of their religious responsibilities to please do so. It applies by all isurim, as well as for all mitzvot aseh. If you ask, Beis Din will say, you know what, they warned you, they asked you to go buy a lulav, and you didn't buy a lulav. Beis Din will put you into cheirim, and certainly for all isurim. Then there is another category, which will be the category which our Gemara seems to engage in. Somebody insulted a Talmud Chacham. He said something detrimental. He acted in a way which was highly disrespectful. That person also is to be put into Cheirem, although all of the laws of Cheirem do not necessarily apply in this particular case. But it's a form of Cheirem, particularly the point which we're interested in is, are you obligated to engage in any dialogue or business activity with that individual? If somebody has been put into Cheirem because he was disrespectful, so the Rebbe or Talmud Chacham himself can put this individual into Cheirem, into Nidui. He doesn't have to come to Beis Din to do so. And what is now imperative upon the entire community, or we'll see certain categories of which one and who has to, that person, you're not allowed to talk to him, you're not allowed to engage him in any business, he has to be living alone, and the reason why is he should come and apologize. Once he apologizes and says, I'm sorry, then Beis Din will, or whoever it is, will release him from that particular neder. So the Gemara had, the last lines which we read were that if somebody has been put into Cheirem by a Beis Din, the only people who are duly qualified to release someone of that neder is the same Beis Din which put him into Cheira. So if you have any Beis Din, and then somebody, a member of the Beis Din, travels, whatever it is, then this Cheirem, according to Abaye's opinion, will last le'olam va'ed. Will last the olam va'ed. Ein Beis Din acher yachol lahatiro. You can never release him of a neder, only the Beis Din that put him into Cheirem. So now we're going to see a Gemara which perhaps disagrees with that. And once it disagrees, obviously, our challenge will be, what is the halacha and the extent of this person's cheirem? So we are about two-thirds of the way down.
Same dayanim. All the dayanim.
Correct. So and if they're not there, you remain in cheirem for the rest of your life.
So one of the dayanim dies, for example.
Too bad.
That's it. Finished.
That's correct. Very strange. So it's obviously according to Abaye, what he wants to do is encourage you to what? To offer an apology as soon as possible, because that can always happen. Some one of the three dayanim, and it does. We'll see. According to some rishonim, it doesn't require a Beis Din of smuchin. It can be just any three Tom, Dick, and Harrys who are traveling in who knows where. So let's see. It's about two-thirds of the way down, and where it says Toshma. Does everybody have the place? Toshma. About two-thirds of the way down, there is a little parentheses with a gimel. Minuda l'rav. Everybody have that?
Yes.
But Toshma. Minuda l'rav is minuda l'talmid. If I'll use myself as an example, even though it's not my style. If somebody became put into nidui, into cheirem, to me, the Rebbe, then all of his students have to follow the nidui as well. So even though this person was not disrespectful to my students, he was disrespectful to me. So none of my students are permitted to go ahead and to have any type of social business interaction with this person. However, menuda l'talmid eino menuda l'rav. But if someone was put into cheirem because he insulted a talmid, under those circumstances, he is not minudeh to the Rebbe. And the Rebbe can involve himself with any dialogue, any business interaction with that individual. We'll see what we can extract for this. So if you take a look, for example, if you take the sheets, for example, for a second, and of course it's labeled appropriately, number 99. Labeled appropriately. To Aaron Judge. Number 99. And then we got number 40 on the third page, which Severino is pitching tonight. Yankees losing 1-0. Bottom of the second. So the Gemara says, so take a look at the Ritva, number 1. Minuta l'talmid, eino minuta l'rav. As the Gemara later explains, Bishiniduhu l'talmid lichvodo bilchud. The only reason why this person was put into cheirem was because he didn't respect this particular talmid. He said something. He did something which was not lefi kvod hatalmid. And as a result, he's only a Talmud. So writes the Ritva, Umistabra, Dehu Hadin She'eino Minuda L'Chachamim Hagdolim Imeh. That if the Talmud has been put into Cheirem because somebody was, not Talmud, the Talmud put someone into Cheirem because he wasn't nice to him, said something, you know, disrespectful, derogatory, whatever it is. So the Gemara says that his Rebbe does not have to abide by the Cheirub. Says the Ritva, all other Talmidei Chachamim who are greater scholars than this Talmud also don't have to abide by the Nidur. That's what the Ritva adds. Hu adin she'eino menuda lechachamim hagidolim mimenu. V'nakat eino menuda lerav, and the Gemara says that he is not menuda to his Rebbe. Afal gav de amrina yehi chvod talmidcha chaviv alecha kishelcha. You should treat your talmidim what as if you a Rebbe should treat his talmidim like he treats himself. So if the Rebbe himself would have gotten insulted, he would be very angry if the talmidim made believe that nothing ever happened, and they started having dialogue and discussions with that guy. In this case, even though there is an obligation for a Rebbe to what? To respect his talmidim, beha eino cholek lo kavod. In this area, he is not obligated to provide kavod to his student by maintaining the cherem that the student put into him. Why should this be an exception to the rule? I have not seen why it shouldn't be that way. Why shouldn't you say yehi chvod talmidecha chaviv alecha kishelcha? It should have been that the Rebbe should stick up for his Talmud. The Talmud was ridiculed or abused, and the Rebbe should join into the cherem as well. But he doesn't. He doesn't. But all the other Talmidim have to. Yes. Except for either his Rebbe or the Ritva adds any other Talmud Chacham who is greater than this particular Talmud Chacham. It's a little difficult to understand how you measure Gadol Mimenu B'Chachma. How do you measure that? You give them both a little Bechina, and you know, it's... So it usually is, somebody asked me this past Shabbos, who determines who is a Pesach? Okay. Who determines who's a Pesach? Who? What's the, what'd you say?
Am Yisrael.
Correct, Am Yisrael. Rav Moshe didn't hang up a shingle on 575 Grand Street and say, Ich bin der Pesach Hadar. That's not what Rav Moshe did. He wrote Shelot Utshuvot, and everybody who saw his writing understood that he is towering above everybody else, and they, but de facto, made him the Pesach Hadar. It's not because he announced, Ich bin du, I'm here, and I can handle that. So I would imagine that Gadol Mimenu Bechachma, in terms of determining whether the person should or should not be included in the Cherem, is also done by society. If society considers this person a greater Talmud Chacham than the student who put this guy into the, that's already would dictate and determine. Because there's nobody going around giving a bechina and see who knows, you know, more than somebody else. You know, it's a communal call. You're 100% right. A communal call.
Didn't we say that one type of cherem is a Talmud Chacham, but there's somebody in cherem?
Yes. That,
so now we're saying that this Talmud, I mean, all of his Talmudim al Talmud Chacham, we're saying this Talmud, ordinary guy, can put somebody in cherem.
Right, he can.
Okay.
But he that's correct. But he has to be recognized as a Talmud Chacham.
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
He does, of course. If you got somebody just sitting there not learning anything, that doesn't warrant listening to him. That's correct. So that's number one. Take a look at the Rambam in source number two. The Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Vav, says the Rambam, Afal pi shahamevaze es hachachamim ein lo chelik loylam haba. Even though I already wrote in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam wrote that somebody who embarrasses a Talmud Chacham is someone who has forfeited his rights to Olam Haba. Im ba'u edim shebizuhu afilu bidvarim. If edim come and say that he humiliated him, not by throwing a can of paint at him, throwing a tomato at him. But just with words, chayiv nidui, he is obligated to be put into cheirin. Uminadin osan beitin birabim. Bezdin does not sit in session in their little office, but what do? They sit in public, in a public square, and put this guy into Bezdin. Vikonsin oso litra zahav. And they put a fine that you have to pay a liter of gold. V'chol makom v'nosnin oso lachacham. And that liter of gold is given to the chacham who was humiliated. V'hamivaze es hachacham bidvarim afilu la'achar misa. Even if the scholar had already passed away and somebody humiliated his name, minadin oso bezdin. Bezdin puts him into cheirin. V'hem matirin oso kishi yachzor b'tshuva. What is the only way to get released from such a nidui? Doing tshuva. Aval im haya hechacham chai, if the chacham was alive, ein matirin oso achi yiratze ze shinaduhu bishvilo. The only way that you can release the neder is not just by doing tshuva. You have to appease the person who was humiliated. You have to appease them. V'chein hechacham atzmo minadeh lichvodo le'am ha'aretz shehifkir bo. The chacham himself has the right to put somebody into cheirim, to an individual in Amaretz who made light of him, ridiculed the chacham. V'ein tzorich lo edim v'lo hasra'a. V'ein matirin lo ad sheyiratzeh es hachacham. And again, we do not release him until the chacham will. The imes hechacham bo'in shlosha umatirin lo. So the Rambam, this is a little preview, the Rambam is going to disagree with Abaye. Because Abaye said that you have to have the original three. From our Brisa, which we will learn in a couple of seconds, the Rambam paskins against Abaye that you do not need the same Bezdin, and any other Bezdin can be Matir the Cheirin. The Imratza Hechacham Limcholo, if the Chacham wants to be Meichel, V'lo Nidohu Harashus Biyado. It's totally up to the Chacham. So the Chacham says, you know what, he embarrassed me, that's fine, I'll live with it, I don't want to put him at the Cheirin. That choice happens to be his.
Why does the Rambam start?
What? What?
Why does the Rambam start off Afalpi?
Because I could have thought that if you've been punished by Hakadosh Baruch Hu, that your chelek has been denied Olam Haba, that's enough for the person. So the Rambam is saying, even though this fact is true, nonetheless, that does not excuse him from punishment for Olam Hazeh. Yeah.
Isn't the Rav not allowed to be mochel in the kavod?
No, a Rebbe is. And a Rebbe Shemach, only a Melech is not allowed to be Meichel on his kavod. But a Rav and a parent are permitted to be Meichel on their kavod. Then the Rambam made, yeah?
Oh, so this last one was not done with the Beis Din, as he did it himself.
Correct. Right?
So I mean, that's why he doesn't need the same Beis Din. No,
that's possible, but we'll see elsewhere that the Rambam always says that you can go ahead and release him by another Bezdin. We'll see that. You're right. Here it is.
Are there other differences between somebody being put in Chayam by Talmud Chacham versus Bacon?
Yeah, there are. Uh-huh. Yes. The somebody put into Chayam by Bezdin, in certain cases, not all, can have a full scope of Dini Avelos. Full scope. Here, it's not that way. It's only that you just avoid interaction with him. But he doesn't have to sit in his house alone, on the floor, take off his shoes, and make believe as if he was Mamish in Avedis. He doesn't have to.
Are there certain criteria that for what the person has to have done in order to have insulted her up? Or in order to have...
No, if anybody would consider it, a bizui. You know, if a guy goes over to a Rebbe and he says, you know, I think the Red Sox are going to lose today, and he happens to be a Red Sox fan, I don't think that would qualify as being a bizui. You know, you know, if there's a question as to whether or not the Chacham should act appropriately. If it was not an insult, then don't put him at the Chayrim. So you have to trust that the Chacham will know what he's doing. Yeah. Let's continue in the Gemara, and then I'm going to read now a couple of lines just to get to the point as to why we're quoting this Bryce in the first place. Minuda le'ir acheres. Excuse me. Minuda le'iro is considered minuda le'ir acheres. If somebody has been put into cherem, and that no one in the city is permitted to what? Have any activity with him. This also applies to every other city. If he goes to another city and they find out that he was put into cherem in his town, somebody was put into cherem in Teaneck, the whole Teaneck had to abide by. So if he goes to Bergenfield, the people in Bergenfield have to honor the cherem. However, minuda le'ir acheres eino minuda le'iro. But if somebody is put into cherem in another city because he went there and he said something, whatever the reason is, and all of Bergenfield was told this guy's in cherem, he can still interact with people in Tina. It's only for his city. Yeah. However, the Nimuka Yosef writes that he is only not in Cherem for cities that are greater than this one. Greater in terms of what? Numbers of people. But if Teaneck has, guy has been put into Cherem in Bergenfield. If Teaneck has more people than, if he lives in Teaneck, so he's protected, he doesn't have to, he's not automatic. But what about Englewood? What about New Milford? So those cities, it depends on whether or not the cities have larger populations or not. If the city has a less of a population than Bergenfield, then those cities are obligated to participate in the Nidui. If New Milford and Englewood have greater populations, then they are not obligated to participate. Doesn't say anything like that in the Gemara. However, the Nimuka Yosef makes that case. And in fact, however, the Beis Yosef will cite someone called the Baal HaKuntresos. I try to find out who the Baal HaKuntresos is. I have not been successful. The Baal HaKuntresin, who says, I disagree with the Nimuka Yosef. And aside from his own city, every other city, even if it's smaller or bigger, are obligated to participate in the Nidui. That if someone is minudeh le'ir acheres, every neighboring town has to participate in the Nidui. The only one that gets away with it is his own hometown. That's it. Again, it's hard to understand what is the basis of the machloikis as to why size of a city will determine whether or not you should be honoring the cherem or not. What does size necessarily have to do with honoring a cherem? Either the reason for the cherem is great enough to demand that it include all other cities, or it's not great enough to include all of cities. To make a difference between a small city and a bigger city is conceptually very difficult. And I didn't see anybody who possibly handled this at all. But let's go further before we look into opinions about this. Case number 3. Minuda l'nasi, minuda l'chol Yisrael. If somebody has been put into cherem because he said something impolite to the Nasi, all of Am Yisrael have to participate in the cherem. However, minuda l'nat l'chol b'nei Yisrael eino minuda l'nasi. But if somebody has been all of Am Yisrael, the plain people of all of Am Yisrael, the Nasi is not obligated to follow through. Now, the Nasi having an impact on the rest of the community is well documented in Halacha, particularly in the Masechta that we're learning. The Halacha is that if you have a choice between sitting and learning or going to a Leviathan, okay? You're in a Beis Medrash and you're learning, and that is a Leviathan town. What should you do? So the rule which the Shulchan Aruch ultimately accepts is that if no one else is going to the Leviathan, and it would be a shame for the deceased to be buried without anybody, then you should be Mevatel Torah and go to the Leviathan. But if it's Efshar Lekayim Al Yudei Acher, if 1,500 people will go to the Leviathan without you, under those circumstances, you don't have to go to the Leviathan. You should not go to the Leviathan, and rather sit and learn. However, the Gemara says, Nasi Shemeis Kulon Betele. When the Nasi dies, all the Batei Midrash have to close. All the Batei Midrash. And everybody is supposed to go to the Leviathan. Why? Because the Nasi is the Nasi over everybody. So when a Nasi is put into Cherem, that same rationale happens to apply. And the Nasi must, if the Nasi was responsible for putting somebody in Cherem, all of Klal Yisrael has to observe the Nidui. And the same thing is true, the converse, with the Nasi, if Klal Yisrael suffered a big loss, the Nasi doesn't have to go to the Leviathan. It's only a one-way equation. That Nasi impacts Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael does not necessarily impact the Nasi. So that's again, Menuda l'Nasi, Menuda l'Chal Yisrael, Menuda l'Chal Yisrael, Eino Menuda l'Nasi. Now comes the statement of Rab Shimon ben Gamliel, which perhaps will serve as the disagreement with Abaye. Rab Shimon ben Gamliel oimer, Echad menam talmidim, shenida umeis, chelko eino mufar. If one of the talmidim put someone into cherem, and the Beis Din that formally put this person into cherem, and then this Talmud Chacham died. Well, excuse me, one of the three died. One of the three members of the Beis Din died. So Rab Shimon ben Gamliel says, Chelko eino mufar. His contribution, the fact that he's one of the three, his contribution cannot be annulled. Eino mufar. It's not automatically annulled because of the fact that what? That he died. I could have said, if the guy who put him to cherem drops dead, so there's no reason to, from that vantage point, to put him into cherem, because there's no longer a Beis Din operating on his behalf. So the way the inference is made is that only these two others cannot release him any longer. Why? Why can't the two release him? Because two people can't be Mataneda. You need the Beis Din. And the fact that he's never going to be able to speak up and say, you know what, I don't think you should release him. Inference. But some other Beis Din of three is allowed to be made for him. That's what most Rishonim said. That the Gemara is trying to prove by citing Rab Shimon ben Gamliel that it is only this one vis-a-vis his Beis Din, chelko eino mufar. But if you go to somebody else, those three can release him, and that's the anti-Abaye opinion.
What does echad min ha-talmidim mean?
One of the talmidim, not a rebbe.
So how can they interpret that as a Beis Din?
No, because in order to summon him to bed, in order to put the cherem on, they assemble the Beis Din. Under those circumstances.
We've just been learning you don't need a Beis Din.
But that's the way he held it in this particular case. He did not put him into cherem himself. What he did was he went to a Beis Din and said, this is what happened, can you please put him into Beis Din, into cherem? He didn't want to do it himself. A lot of times they'll do that. Why? Because if you put him to cherem, what does that look like? What does that look like?
You're an
action,
you're a
Gaiva. No. You're a little more than action. What are you?
Gaiva.
You're a little Gaiva.
Yeah, Balgaiva.
Exactly, you're a Balgaiva. So you take off that criticism by letting somebody else.
But that's clearly not in the simple pshat of Rashbag's words.
I didn't say it's the simple pshat, but that's the way everybody's learning, that he went to a Beis Din, and someone else, another Beis Din, can... I read it, I grant you it's...
And who died? The one of the members of the Beis Din?
That is correct.
So the sentence... Okay. Very poorly written.
So the Gemara says, Shema mino tlas. We can learn out three halachos from this statement. Shema mina, number one, Talmid shenido lichvodo, niduyov nidui. A Talmud who puts somebody in cheirim, the nidui works. I could have had a haga mina, that you're a Talmud, you're a punk. And punks don't put people into cheirim. Rabbeim can put them into cheirim. Not Talmidim punkies. That's number one. Number two, Ushma mina, Kol echad ve'echad meifir chelko. Everybody can release their part of the nidui. Meaning, from my vantage point, you have three people on a Beis Din. From my vantage point, I am willing to what? To release him from the cheirim. So everybody enjoys that right to start the process of releasing somebody from a cheirim. And the only reason why the cheirim still lasts to some extent is because one of the guys died. So his chelek cannot be mufar. But the other people on the Beis Din, they have a right to initiate a process to begin to release it. And then the Shema Mina, the third thing is... Hani bi tlosa deshamitu lo asa tlosu achrina visharale. Here, once Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said that the Talmud Chacham who died, one of the three who died, chelko eino mufar. So, what would you conclude from his position? Does he allow other dayanim the way I just told you, or the way the inference of the brisa is going to be? If you make a point of saying that this Dayan who died, chelko eino mufar, if the halacha was that anybody can be mefer, who cares whether he's alive or dead? Go to somebody else. The mere fact that Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, this chelek is never going to be mufar, inference, what? That's it. It's too late. You're stuck. You're stuck in this nidui for the rest of your life. It's not fair, too bad. However, if he had held that another Beis Din would be able to be mefer, so you go to another Beis Din. End of discussion. Assemble three people, that's all you need. So here the Gemara believes, and the Gemara is going to quote on Meimar just the opposite. Here the Gemara believes that Rav Shimon Gamliel supports Abaye's opinion. That the only ones who can be mefer a neder are those individuals who put him into cheirim. Omar Ameimar, Hilchasa Hanu Beit Losa Deshamitu Osa Beit Losa Achrina Visharu. That's not true. What I just said, I'm against the Gemara's conclusion. I'm against Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. That if the Beis Din can't or doesn't want to, you can get a release in another Beis Din. You can. And therefore, that inference. The inference from Rav Shimon Gamliel, notwithstanding, the halacha is that you can. It's a little unusual that Ameimar will make such a declaration. Hilchasa, don't forget, Ameimar is an Amora, not a Tana. So as a Tana, as an Amora, how did he have a right to what? To contradict the inference which was made by Rav Shimon Gamliel, who's a Tana.
Unless there's somebody who put some kind of a spell on Rav.
Okay, but the Gemara hasn't told us. The Gemara goes straight to Ameimar. If you would, the Gemara would say Upliga, and I have another brisa that it argues. But the Gemara doesn't cite another brisa.
Is the Shema Mina part of the brisa, or that's
no? The Shema Mina is the inference that the Gemara, the Amora, and this Gemara is made. It's not part of the brisa.
He's just going against that inference.
That's correct. He's going against the inference. But right.
Why?
Yeah.
Why are you forced to learn the Rashbag's case that he's dealing with a Beis Din? You can learn his case that he's talking about an individual. The only one who brings up a Beis Din here is Amemar. The inference that the last Shema Mina of the first Amora that agrees with Abaye is just bracing on, is making it based on the fact that it says Vameis, independent of whether it's a Beis Din or not.
I'll grant you that.
It's only Amemar that makes up this new, it's an inference out of nowhere. I don't know. I don't think he makes an inference from the price. He seems to not agree with it.
Yeah, he disagrees.
Yeah, but my point is he's
and
not.
And Ravashi's going to ask the question on him. What do you mean? We just learned in the price that you can't.
He's not making it up based on a text.
Right. Okay. That's what I just said. There is no textual support that he brings to challenge the price.
There's no way. There's no reason to force such a forced reading up into the statement of Rosh Hashanah and Gamliel. I'm not sure why you're forced to say that it's a Beis Din.
Because I want it to be just parallel to Amemar's response. If Amemar was telling us three people in a Beis Din who are not matirit, and
one dies,
you can go to somebody else. That's why he's doing it. Okay. That's why he's doing it. The Gemara is paralleling the two cases. One Rav Shimon Gamliel and the inference, and the other one is Amemo, just said, just the opposite. Yes.
I'm just confused of what's operating here. So if it's a Beis Din that gives a cherem, so it's their authority to establish however this neder works.
Right.
And then everybody, or at least everybody in that city, it's incumbent upon them to follow their authority. Or an individual Talmid Chacham is strictly, his lineage within his yeshiva, his immediate talmidim, but it's not incumbent among other people in the city.
That is correct. It's
so
not.
It's a different kind of authority.
Correct.
It's kavod ha'Torah, whatever.
That's
whatever
true.
It is.
Yeah.
So could that be the reason why?
Even though I'll show you the Rambam. The Rambam says that shar kol ha'am have to participate. By a rebbe, all of the people, not only his talmidim, but everybody in town. And the Rambam's even going to say that in relationship to a talmud. It's just that the Rebbe doesn't have to, but other people in the town have to abide by it. And again, the Gemara didn't necessarily say that, but we'll read in 2 seconds Shita Sarambam.
So is there an assumption that a larger town, a more populous town, necessarily has a greater Beis Din? If there's a larger people, they must have greater talmidim.
I don't know. I don't know if there is such an assumption. I don't know. I don't know. So now take a look at the sheet for a moment. Yeah. So take a look at Halacha Gimel for a second, which is a source Gimel, which is the Shulchan Aruch, and the Mechaber writes, Menuda l'Rav is Menuda l'Talmid. Avol eino Menuda l'Shar HaChachamim. But all other Talmidei HaChachamim are not necessarily in that category. Other great Talmidei Chachamim, who are greater than the Talmud, are not included in the Chayim. Menuda l'Talmid shenida l'chvodo, ein menuda l'Rav. Aval menudehu l'sha'ar ha'am, she'einan chachamim, adds the Ramah. She'einan chachamim. Avalo l'chachamim, afilu kitana mimenu. That's a Beis Yosef based on the Lashon of the Rambam. The Rambam, I should have quoted that Rambam as well.
When you say that about any one of those Shara Chachami, that's greater than the person who's getting. Greater than the person that's giving the nidui, not greater than the person receiving the nidui, right?
In which case?
Menuda l'Rav, menuda l'Talmid.
Who is?
Alayim menuda l'Shar Chachamim. People that are greater than the people, the person giving the nidui, or
yeah. Well, here it's the same case. The minadeh was the Rav.
Right. The person greater than the Rav does not have to do it. Not greater than the Talmud.
Correct. Alayim menuda l'Shar Chachamim. No. In which case? In the first case.
Yeah.
It means any chacham.
Greater than not.
Shara Chachamim. No, only his own Talmidim. That's the first line. Menuda l'Rav, menuda l'Talmid. Aval eino menuda l'Shara Chachamim. all the people in the town have to abide by the nidui, with the exception of the Talmidei Chachamim, they do not have to abide by the nidui. In the case where it's menuda l'rav and menuda l'talmid, so then he's the consequence is that he's menuda l'talmid. Then let's read. Keep reading in that source again. V'dafka b'menuda shelo b'fnei harav, abo b'fnei harav. Af kirusahi v'i polig le rabbe yikra shaper dami. So in this particular case, where you have someone who is menuda to the Talmud, but he's not menuda to the Rav, except, and all other people have to observe it, except for the Chachamim, and that's only, says the Shulchan Aruch, b'menuda shelo b'fnei harav. Aval b'fnei harav, if he's going to be put into cheirim in the presence of the Rav, that is afkirusahi. That's considered a bizayon. So the Rebbe and the Talmud were standing there, and who did the guy insult? Insulted the Talmud. But if the Rebbe is present, that's also considered a what? An insult to the Rebbe himself. To the Rebbe himself. And that's why, once it's considered an insult to the Rebbe, then he is muhram to the entire city. To the entire city. Which is interesting halacha. Yeah.
What's the ipoligle? What's the rest?
If ipoligle, rabbe yikra, if he argues with him, ipoligle rabbe yikra, if he argues with the Rebbe,
who's he?
The person who was put into cheirim.
Okay.
Then, if the Talmud himself argues with the Rebbe, ipoligle rabbe yikra, then we can say, in this case, he's not even the Talmud any longer. What is he? He's the Rebbe. If somebody argues with his Rebbe, and you're allowed to argue with your Rebbe, under those circumstances, if the Talmud has achieved enough scholarship and erudition that he's willing to argue with whom? With his own Rebbe. So then, don't call him a Talmud any longer. What do you call him? Rabbe. He is a Rebbe. And treat his cheirim not only as a Talmud who put someone into cheirim, but what else? As a Rebbe who put him into cheirim. Because many a times, Talmidim will argue, we find that all over the place, in the Mishnayos, in the Gemara, where the Talmidim, you know, were much greater from time to time, at least in the Gemara sense, than the Rebbe himself, even though he was still learning with them. So under those circumstances, he's called his Rebbe, and under those circumstances, it's perfectly okay to put him in to Cheirim, even if he's not the Talmud, he's actually the Rebbe. Actually the Rebbe. Yeah. Okay, let's continue. So Omar Ameimar, Hilchasa Hani Beit Losa Deshamitu Asu Beit Losa Achrina Visharule. Any bastion that puts somebody into cheirim, someone else can, any other bastion can be matir, can be matir. Can be matir. Now continues the Gemara. Ask Amalei Rav Ashi La Meimar for Hatanya, Rab Shimon ben Gamliel Oimer, Echad min Atalmidim Shenida Umeis Chelko Eino Mufar. My love Eino Mufar Klau. Doesn't the inference certainly support the position that Eino Mufar means you can never ever remove the hafara? So how do you suddenly claim that what? That you're not, you, Ameimar, are not contradicting the Braisa? Answers Ameimar. No, I'm not contradicting the Braisa. Lo, When Rab Shimon ben Gamliel said that when the Talmud died, Eino Mufar, it doesn't mean Eino Mufar Leolam Va'ed. What does it mean? Eino Mufar until another Besdin comes along and is made for it. Because if this were the only Besdin, then you would be stuck, because you only have two out of three of it live. But if you can get another Besdin, under those circumstances, you can be Matir. That's how Amemar claims he is not challenged by the Braisa. That's how Amemar claims he's not challenged by the Braisa.
It's a pretty weak Eino Mufar, though, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. 100%. Tana Rabbana, Ein Nidui Pachos Milamed Yom. There is no Nidui that is less than 30 days. No Nidui less than 30 days. So, here comes an issue. Here comes an issue. What exactly does this mean? You cannot be cannot have a nidui for less than 30 days. Let's assume somebody put me into nidui, and after 2 days, I went ahead and I apologized. So many rishonim say you can be matur de neder. If day number 30 comes and I still have not yet apologized, what do you think the halacha is? The nidui continues. So if those two facts are true, what question would you ask on the Gemara? What? What do you mean? Ein nidui pachos melamed yom. It could be a lot less if you are willing to be matir. The guy apologized. If he didn't apologize, it's not going to stop at 30 days either. What's it going to be? It's going to be as long as it takes. So under what circumstances would we now say a nidui ella lelamed yom? So what happened, the answer which many Rishonim give is as follows. That what the Gemara means is that if somebody is worthy of nidui, there ain't no such animal as putting him into chayim for 15 days. There ain't no such animal putting him into nidui for 20 days. If you find it necessary to put him into nidui, what is the way you put him into nidui? It's a 30-day sentence. Of course, subject to what? To good behavior. But you never initially set a nidui up for less than 30 days. And then just take it. If the guy apologizes, okay, you'll release him. If he won't apologize, we'll go more than 30. But the initial sentence has to be for 30 days. That's the way the Ravid writes, the Ritva says that. Several of them say that. Yeah.
Can you do a nidui that says, I'm going to put you in nidui for 30 days? Can you do a nidui like that?
What?
Can a chacham or a beis din say you're in nidui for 30 days? And literally like a sentence.
A maximum?
Yeah.
Yeah, they can. They can.
It's like stam nazirah shloshim yom.
Okay, that's like that. Some rishonim say that since nidui shares a lot of common denominator with neder, and nazirus is a form of a neder, therefore the stam case is shloshim yom, and that's it. That's correct. And they would learn this out from the following halacha. Somebody ate tarfus. Two ate him and everything. So what's the punishment? What's the punishment? Malchus. You give him 39 lashes. And the guy says, I couldn't care less. As soon as I get out of here, I'm going straight to McDonald's and having another Big Mac. So what can't the Besdin do? What can't the Besdin do? Who said no more Malchus? Yeah, they can't. Even though the guy is still omeid be-meriyot, he's still rebelling. You can't put him more than 30 days. Therefore, some say, you don't have to learn like I just told you about the 30 days. You know why it says 30 days? Because that's the maximum sentence. Why is it the maximum sentence? It emulates Einshe Bezdin. Once you do something in Bezdin and you offer someone a punishment, even if he does not choose to engage in remorse, you can't punish him the second time until he does another Aveira. Same thing, there has to be a fixed amount of time. So it's not 10 days, it's not 20 days, it's 30 days. Yes, if he does tshuva in the middle, you can be matir right away. But if he doesn't, the cherem is over, and he is to be released. Now that self is debated. Last June, we came across some rishonim who said that if he's in nidui, what do? You make him at shishim yom, put him in cherem for another 30 days. But here, this Gemara is saying, and that case was not talking about a Talmud Chacham issue, but it was talking about somebody who really deserved Nidui. He disregarded Bezdin, he didn't give his wife a get, something along those lines, didn't pay taxes. Under those circumstances, you can extend it. But not this particular case, cannot be extended. Cannot be extended. Yeah. So take a look at page number 40. Or page 1 for a minute. This is the Rambam and Perek Zion of Hilchos Talmud Torah. And the Rambam uses the last two or three psukim of Talmud Torah to elaborate on the laws of Nidui, because the Rambam made a very strong opening statement about how significant Kvoy Talmidei Chachamim happens to be. Says the Rambam, Bekama matirin hanidui oyacherim, bishlosha afilu hedyotos. Even three people without smicha can be matir neder. Yachid mumcha matir hanidui levado, and a yachid mumcha can be matir a nidui without two other people. The yesh l'talmid lahatir hanidui oy hacherem afilu b'makom harav, and a talmid can be one who releases even if the rebbe is still present in town. If somebody engaged in tshuva, engaged in remorse, even the Talmud can sit on a Bezdin and release him despite the fact that the Rebbe is still in town. I could have imagined that, and there are halachos of this regard, that if the Rebbe is present, Talmidim are not permitted to paskin a halacha. Not allowed to paskin a halacha. Bimkoim rabcha. So I could have imagined that the laws of Nidui follow that. It would be ma'od ma'od mistaber. But the Rambam says no. He's makel in this regard. And that you need not worry about it. Even if it's bifnei harav, the Talmud can be matir neder as long as they have heard him engage in tshuva. Heard him engage in tshuva. Then there is one other thing I want to show you.
Otherwise, we can never do a Taras Nedarim of Rosh Hashanah.
What?
Otherwise, we can never do a Taras Nedarim of Rosh Hashanah.
Well, we're not doing it for Nidui Chayim. We're doing it for Nedarim that we made.
If the act of Hafara requires, you can't do it with Nei Rabo, then right, there's only one qualified Beis Din in the city.
That would
do
be
it.
True. That's correct. That's true, right?
Is the Rambam saying that even if the Nidui was because of the covenant of Rav, the Talmud still...
That's correct. Even if it's... That's a good point. Yes, that's what the Rambam means. Even if the Nidui was because of Kvod HaRav, so I could have thought that Kvod HaRav will demand that Bifanav, he can't. That's correct. That's a very good point. That's a very good point. But he's obligated. He is permitted to do so. All right, we'll stop here. We'll continue next up.
8 o'clock?
What?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.